This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, would you open up to 1 John chapter 1, where Jen has been leading us very effectively through this passage of God's Word. We know that the author of 1 John was also one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. He also wrote the book of Revelation. He also wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John. And he was the cousin of Jesus. So he is well deserved to be listened to. So this morning, let me read to you the first seven verses of this passage of God's Word. These words that you're about to hear are going to be the most important words you're going to hear from me today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. Now, that's what we have been looking at, and this morning we're going to spend some time focused on these next three verses. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. This is God's word to us this morning. Now this morning, let me begin with the word beginning. That's the first word that I want to stress to you this morning. And if we think about that for a minute, we recognize that even in the word beginning is the beginning of the book of Genesis, where we read, "In the beginning, God." You could write a treatise on those four words, but I'm just going to give you a personal example this morning of how this great, an awesome God that we call Jesus, and God and Lord and Savior, how this great and awesome God who created all things and who is not limited by space or time is still a personal God, a God who loves us, a God who is intimately involved or wants to be intimately involved in every aspect of our life. And He can do that for you, and He can do that for me, and He can do that for the person sitting beside you, because He's that great and that good. So let me introduce you this morning to Mr. Chicken. Rubber Chicken. This Rubber Chicken is our dog Sadie's favorite toy. It's not Lynn and my favorite toy. It's Sadie's favorite toy, and in the morning you can hear her downstairs chasing the chicken. Well, Mr. Chicken disappeared this week. We don't know what happened to Mr. Chicken. Sadie was playing with Mr. Chicken, and I heard her playing with Mr. Chicken because you can't miss it. And all of a sudden, there was no Mr. Chicken. And she came downstairs looking a little bit forlorn, because she had been running around the house chasing Mr. Chicken and throwing him all over the place. But he was nowhere to be found. So I told Lynn about it, and she said, "Well, it's got to be in the house here somewhere." You know, like she hasn't been outside. "It's got to be in the house here somewhere." So Lynn and I began to look for Mr. Chicken. Do you think we could find Mr. Chicken? He was nowhere, and I mean nowhere, to be found where we looked. And we looked in the upstairs, we looked in the downstairs, we looked in the basement, and Mr. Chicken was gone. He was gone all day. That night, as I lay in my bed thinking about where else Mr. Chicken could be, I said to myself, why not pray about it? Now, I was laughing as I was saying that. So, okay, here goes. Dear Lord, help us to find Mr. Chicken. And that's about what the prayer was. So I went to bed, fell asleep, and during the night, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision or God just revealed to me where Mr. Chicken was, because I woke up in the morning and I went to where it was revealed to me, and there was Mr. Chicken behind our granddaughter's bed. There's nowhere that Mr. Chicken should have been there, but that's where Mr. Chicken was. So I tell you, this great and awesome and majestic God who is from the beginning, and who John says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is not limited by time and space, is a God who is concerned for Mr. Chicken. And I say that respectfully. And how often we forget that God is intimately involved with us from the beginning until the end. So much so that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to give His life for us, so that we could come into relationship with Him and experiencing all the benefits of what it means to live in relationship with Jesus, who is not only God, not only our Savior, not only the Creator, but also the most intimate friend we can have. In the beginning. God cares for us. The second word I want to stress is word, as a review that Jen has led us through. Let me just find my notes here very quickly. I find it fascinating how all of Scripture flows together. And the older I get, the more I realize that there is absolutely no contradiction within the Word of God. It all holds together. And it all flows together. And it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all begins for us at the cross. The cross, my friends, is where it's at. The cross is where we begin our relationship with Jesus Christ in such a way that we know who He is, and He knows who we are. And He is the Word of life. In John 1 and 1, not 1 John 1, but in John, the Gospel John in 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, there we find that word again. You think that's coincidence? I do not believe it is to be viewed as coincidence. It's all tied together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know from our analysis of that verse that the Word refers to Jesus Christ. So we could read that verse by saying, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. John is consistent with the rest of Scripture that Jesus is God. And all Scripture flows together. And there's only one way that can happen. That the first verse in the book of Genesis flows through the last verse of the book of Revelation. There's only one way that can happen, and the only way that can happen is that if the Holy Spirit is the author of every verse, every word in Scripture. Timothy tells us that. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed And 2 Peter 1:21 says, prophecy never had its beginning or its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We can trust the Word of God. We can trust Jesus. He was in the beginning, He will be in the end. We are with Him in the now. And He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our friend. He is our comfort. He is our encourager. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day every knee will bow before our friend Jesus. What a thrill to be part of that history. What a thrill to be part of that story of a God who loves and cares and moves amongst us. The third word is the word life that Jen has led us through. This again, we can refer back to the Gospel of John in John 14 and 6, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That life, in the present to the hereafter, comes to us as a gift. Can't earn it. Can't buy it. Don't deserve it. It's not about who we are and what we have done. It's about who Jesus is and what He has done. And through His death and resurrection, we are given eternal life as a what? Come on, folks. Gift. It's a gift. A gift. A gift. I bought my own birthday gift. That way you can't go wrong. Right? And Jesus gives us our salvation as a gift. Listen to Ephesians 2 and 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And it's that simple. And it's that easy. And it's that difficult for so many of us to comprehend, because it is so simple and so easy. We come undeservedly into the presence of Jesus Christ. And He, through His grace on our repentance and our faith in Him, accepts us fully, fully as His children. The next word is fellowship. Again, if we go back to the Gospel of John, it says, on that day, John 14 and 20, Jesus is speaking, and He says, on that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What's our fellowship based on? As a church family, what is our fellowship based on? It's not on our theological beliefs as such, although they play a role. It's not on our likes and dislikes as such, but they play a role. It's not because we like one another. We're supposed to like one another. It's not based on that. It's based on the reality of God's Spirit within us. Our fellowship, first and foremost, is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, all that other stuff plays a role and a part in who we are as a church body and a church family. And we really are a church family. The older I get, the more burdened I become with churches who are in conflict. We found out this past week that one of the churches I serve now is in deep conflict, and it breaks my heart. And I ask myself, why do Christians behave that way? Why is it? And I'll tell you why. It's because they've lost their focus on who they are and what they should become and what they should be doing, and that is pointing their light to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here, friends, for one another, primarily. Although that plays a part. I love our church family. I love our church family. But that's not the primary reason that Lynn and I are here. We are here because God has planted us here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, His light needs to shine through us to those around us. And if we forget about those around us, we are not fulfilling the commission that God has given us to do. And churches spend years talking about their mission and their ministry and their vision. And quite frankly, and I can say this because Jen's going to have to pick up the pieces on this one, it's a waste of time. The work that God has given us to do is so clear in Scripture. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. That's it. And if we miss that, we've missed it all. Now, there needs to be some discussion in regards to how we are going to do that. But we shouldn't spend more than 10, 15 minutes deciding what we are to do. It's clear in Scripture. Clear in Scripture. And the more we discuss it, the more Satan laughs on the sidelines and says, look, look what's happening there. Okay? You see, there's no disunity in the Spirit. None. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. We need, as a church and as churches, to repent and get back to the truth when we discredit Jesus by our actions. Think about that, would you please? Now, we're going to get on to what we're supposed to be talking about this morning. And that we are, or that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And I'm going to ask Parav to come and give a word of testimony at this time.
Good morning, everyone. Some of you might know my name is Puro. I'm from India. And I came to Canada in 2014. I was born and brought up in a Christian family. And as you most of you know, that India is a land of 33 million God and goddesses. But I was fortunate enough to be part of a Christian family. And when I was in India, I read Bible, went to church most of Sundays, attended Sunday schools, vacation Bible school, and young adult fellowship regularly. I knew the Bible and what Jesus did on the cross for us. However, I did not understand the real meaning of it. In Indian culture, people believe in doctrine of karma or cycle of karma, and I was also caught up in the same thing, that if you do good things, you will please God and you will achieve your own salvation. And I was trying to do everything on my own. I was trying not to sin, and I was trying to please people rather than God. But when I came here in 2014, I started attending BFMC around March, April of 2014. And I started listening to the sermons more closely. And I involved in the church. I went to Alpha. I did exploring Christianity classes. And then I slowly started understanding and not just only knowing the Scripture. And then it totally blew my mind. And then I realized that it's not by my strength, it's not what I am doing right now or what I have done, but it's through what God has done and what Jesus Christ has done. So as just Pastor Henry mentioned about the Ephesians, and it says like, for it is by the grace you have been saved through the faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. So the salvation is from God, and it is totally through His deeds what has been done on the cross. And I was totally free of the guilt that I have to do something because it has been already done. And then it is like through the strength of the Christ and not my strength. And it totally changed my mind, and like I started to believe and like have that faith. And I'm so much thankful to this church. Like the moment I walked into this church, I felt that love. I understand what the gospel really meant. And that's how I started to live by the faith. And like then they understand what it is meant to have a faith. And like it also brought so many different questions, like why I should believe only in Bible and not any other different religion on gods. And then when like Alpha and Exploring Christianity and my conversation with Rob Vip came into effect, like I asked so many questions, he graciously answered all those questions. We looked into the so many evidence, and the evidence is like mind-blowing. No one can deny the truth, and it was like amazing journey. And like even like it's amazing, it's mind-boggling. So that's all like just a, like a small story how I came into faith and what was my journey. And so now like as I understand that I cannot do anything on my own. So like to have a faith is like assurance of the things unseen. So how do I grow in my faith? It's like I try to know Him more. I try to worship Him more. I try to praise time with prayers and study scriptures. And as the Bible says, like I try to remember the scriptures, try to put them in my heart so I may not sin against Him. And that has helped me a lot. And church family, and like attending like men's Bible study and like Alpha and exploring. Right now also I'm attending Exploring Christianity, and it's helping me a lot. So I encourage, if you have not attended those classes, please do so. It's very important. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto the salvation, and it's for everyone and those who believe. So I try to let other people know about what Jesus has done, and I just let them know about the Jesus. And again, I let them know about my church family, because I know when they come here, when they walk into this church, they can know the truth. They will feel the love, and it will help them to come close and to know the truth. So, and sometimes I just let them know about the church. Sometimes I let them know about the evidence, and sometimes I let them know about the different verses which might help them, and pray for them. And whenever I get time, I like write to some of the friends to come to the church, or like go with them to the groceries. And that's what I've been doing. And thank you, God, for that. Thank you, every one of you, and thank you for this opportunity to share this story.
Great.
Thanks so much. And if you were listening to Parav's testimonies, I'm sure you were. And if you were combining that with where we are going this morning, you would say that he has seen the light, right? And not only has he seen the light, but he's also living in the light. And thirdly, he's also sharing the light. So he's seen the light, he's living in the light, and he's also sharing the light. In this passage of Scripture, it says, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. no darkness at all. Could I have somebody turn the lights off, please? Seriously. There we go. I don't know if you've ever been in total darkness. I've had the experience twice. Once when I was serving in the Church of Caledonia, and we went down into the gypsum mines. And it was so dark, I mean so dark, you couldn't see, literally, you could not see your hand in front of your face if you were an eighth of an inch away from your nose. And then someone turned on the light. And what did you do? You looked at it. Just as you have been following this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. As you've been following this little light of mine, we as God's people, you can turn the lights back on, we as God's people must follow in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the question first and foremost this morning, in regards to this passage of Scripture and what Parav has reminded us of this morning, is have you seen the light? Or are you still walking in darkness? And along with that question, as believers, we have to ask ourselves that question as well. Are we, or have we discovered the true light? Or are we lost in side issues that sometimes we get so hung up on? Jesus is the answer to all of those questions. If we go back to John's Gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That statement in itself is a very tight statement, but it's also wide open. Wide open, because it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you're involved in, what your history is. If you come to the light, He will give you life. But it's also very closed in the sense that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. Jesus is the answer to the world's darkness. It's not the environmental movement, however good that may be. You know, it's not making more money, however good that may be at times. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. When I was a first believer or a young believer in Jesus Christ, I had a little sticker up on the radiator in my bedroom and it said one way. And it was a pointing one way with Jesus. I don't know if this was back in the 70s when the Spirit was blowing through our community. And it reminded me of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Listen to some of these verses of Scripture which point to the fact that He is the light and He is the only light. In Ephesians 1 and 16, it reads, in Him, that is Jesus, all things hold together. What's the opposite of that? Without Jesus, everything falls apart. If you're looking to find fulfillment in life, it's got to be through Jesus. In Colossians 2 and 17 it says, reality is found in Christ. Reality is found in Christ. All else leads to deception. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Compare that with John 10 and 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And listen to Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And I don't think it's too much of a theological faux pas to say that Jesus is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. The only way to fulfillment in life, the only way to live in the light is through Jesus. And some of the most powerful words of Scripture, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So we need to live in the light. We need to follow the light. We need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, not run ahead of Him or behind Him, but to keep in step with the Spirit. And sometimes that is so difficult for us to do because of the fact that we want things now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. We want things now. And you know, our timing is not God's timing. And simply because we do not think that God, or according to our way of looking at things, we don't think God is working fast enough, we need to reevaluate where we are, not what God is doing. How do we do that? How do we keep in step with the Spirit? Well, this is Christianity 101, but I think it's so important for us to stress it time and time and time and time again. We need to have a daily prayer time. And I am amazed at how many believers in Jesus Christ who have claimed to be believers for so many years still do not have a daily devotional time. I hope you're not one of them. How do we expect to keep in touch with Jesus Christ if we only touch Him two or three Sundays a month in church? That's not enough. That's why we have small group times. That's why you need to have a daily devotional time. Follow a good daily devotional guide. Secondly, we need to study Scripture. I'm so impressed with those people within our fellowship who are memorizing Scripture. I don't do that well, and I was tempted to take part in it, but I chickened out because I knew I wouldn't fulfill that for a whole year. It's just not my thing. It should be my thing, but it isn't. But there are those of you who are planting, as Parav mentioned a few moments ago, planting the seed of God in their hearts that they might not sin against God. So daily prayer time, keep in touch with the Spirit. Study Scripture, keeping in touch with the Spirit. And then thirdly, don't rush into decision making. Make good decisions. Ask yourself the question, and I say this with all sincerity, what would Jesus do in your situation? What would He do? How would He decide? And I think we can prove it from Scripture that when Jesus got into deep water, He always went back to the Father and spent time with the Father and sought out that question, what should He do? You see, the Christian life is a 24/7 experience. The older I get, the more I realize, too, that there isn't a whole lot of difference for the Christian between the secular and the spiritual. They come together. We are called to be light in the world. And the final prayer that Jesus prayed for us as believers in Jesus Christ was that we should not be taken out of the world, but that we should be guarded in the world from the evil one as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So many of us, and I say this kindly, so many of us live in isolation. We circle ourselves with Christian friends, and that's it. How do we expect God to make a difference in our lives and through our lives if we don't mix it up with non-believers? Right? Come on. That's the reality of it. Again, if we go back to the mission statement in Matthew, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Not wait until they come. Go and make disciples. And that's tough. You see, we need to be prepared with an answer when people see the light in us and we can point to Jesus, or we can invite them as perhaps as to church, or we can do them a good deed, or whatever. Whatever God lays on your heart to do for them at that particular time, we need to do it. And remember, it's not your light. It's not your light that's shining. It's God's light in you that is shining through you. And sometimes you're not even aware that it is shining through you. Over the years, people have come up to me and thanked me for a part that I played in their life. Let me confess, many times I don't even remember what they told me or what I told them at that particular time. See, God uses us in the little things. We always look to the big things. But I'm convinced God brings people to Christ one little step at a time. And we have the privilege of being the one who helps that person make that little step. And sometimes, and I would say a large degree of the time, we're not even aware that we're doing that. But it's the Spirit of God moving in and through us that does that. We can verify that from Scripture. Because Jesus says, even if you give a cup of cold water to someone, you will not lose your reward. It's amazing. It's amazing that we have the privilege of living in fellowship with God, having the Spirit within us, and using and motivating us to become the light that God wants us to be. And we have a work to play in something that really, really matters. It has eternal implications of who we are when we speak a word for Jesus, because we never know what God will do through that. You have the opportunity in the next little while to come before Christ, perhaps to renew your commitment to walking in the light, seeing the light, and sharing the light as you come to the prayer rail. Or maybe you would like to come and pray for someone who is facing difficult times or is in a situation that we know that Jesus can help. Or perhaps you'd like to pray for a loved one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for an opportunity to give a word of testimony or a deed of love and speak to them about Jesus. This is our opportunity to do business with God as we come to the prayer rail. Let's pray together. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity that has been ours this morning to gather around your word, to focus in on thoughts and situations, experiences that really matter in life. Help us to keep our focus so on Jesus so that our priorities in this coming week and in the days and years ahead hold true to the Word of God. Thank you that you are our light. Thank you that you came into our darkness and shed your light on us. Thank you that we have the privilege to walk in the light, and that our life can be full and meaningful as you live your life through us. And Father, be with us as individuals and as a church as we seek to share that light with others, that they may come to know you and love you and work for you and find fulfillment and everlasting life in the end. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege that I had in sharing. And may it be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.